It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so I've got syphilis. No, not really. I say I've got syphilis because I actually have a UTI. But when I came back from the urgent care to pick up Trish from work, I got in the car, or she got in the car, she said, "How'd it go?" And I said, "I got syphilis." And she's like, "What?" And I said, "No." Now, you might be asking, why am I telling you and the world that I have a UTI? Couple of reasons. One, if this shit is shocking to you, you're listening to the wrong podcast already. I mean, just come on. Second of all, guys generally don't get UTIs very much. I've had 3 or 4 of them. I don't know what it is. Something terrible. I don't know. They suck. Generally, I'm always in denial about them until they're, like, really bad, and I have to, like, go to the ER and stuff.
Well, you're not the first man I've known to...
They happen. They just happen a lot less for men. Sure. I have a lot of them for some reason. Although, apparently, I haven't had one in 10 years, according to my hospital records. But, like I said, usually I'm sort of in denial because they suck so bad that it's clearly I have to go to the ER for them. This time... like, I knew the signs, sort of, and so I went before it got really bad, which is great, because now I'm on antibiotics, and so, like, nipped it in the bud. Except, now I'm on antibiotics. And so, I don't remember this being as much of a thing when I was a kid. A little bit, but not as much, like, my digestive system is just hosed.
That's interesting you should say that, because I'm sure that I took antibiotics quite often when I was a kid.
I did, because back in my day, they gave them for ear infections constantly, and I had a ton of ear infections.
And I do not remember them having any effect on any part of me except maybe to help get rid of the infection.
Yeah.
But the last time I had antibiotics, it had an impact on my digestive system, and it's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I was trying to come up with different things I could take and things like that to help. Fermented things, yogurt, stuff
sure,
like that. And
sure.
I was just like, screw it. So I went and I bought the probiotic capsules.
Yeah.
From the store. So now I've been taking those for about a day or so, but things are still bad. So if I seem cranky, that's mostly why.
Why was that? It doesn't seem like that was ever a thing before.
I don't know. I mean, I understand the process. I mean, antibiotics is killing the bacteria.
Sure, sure.
All of it. Why it wasn't so much when we were a kid, I don't know. I mean, the body in general is way more resilient to stuff back then. The older I get, I'm not developing food allergies, but I am developing food intolerances. Like, onions, I love onions. They don't always agree with me now. When I was a kid, was never a thing. But I don't know, when you get old, your digestive system gets wonky.
Well, and you know, it's not a trivial thing that it's killing your gut bacteria.
No.
Your gut bacteria impacts your health in a lot of ways. My health has not been the same since then. I mean, you know, a lot of the problems that the antibiotics were causing went away, but I started to have other problems that I never had before.
Yep.
Why is this happening?
It's a delicate balance.
But, I haven't had any antibiotics since, and I hope I never have to take them.
So, yeah. So, if I sound cranky or I'm farting a lot in this podcast, that's why.
I wasn't even sick.
That's weird, then.
Well... here's the thing. So I have a congenital heart
thing.
And one of the things that doctors recommended was that I take antibiotics when I have anything done with my teeth, even a cleaning.
Oh, wow. Just to avoid the potential for infection.
Infection, right. So I wasn't even sick. I just was going to the dentist.
Wow.
And I took some antibiotics. Now,
that seems kind of extreme.
That's what I thought. So mm-hmm. I talked to my new cardiologist about it, and he said, no, you don't have to do that. And then I had some difficulty with my dentist for a while because they were afraid that I was just not wanting to take them and that I wasn't telling
them the
truth. So we had to go back and forth about that. But now everything's cool. I don't take antibiotics whenever I go. And I've even had that crown done, and I didn't have any antibiotics taken then. But yeah, that's what doctor said for a long time, that I needed to take antibiotics just in case I got an infection while they were working on my teeth.
And that, and nowadays, you know, now that they're becoming antibiotic resistant and stuff, they're much less likely to prescribe them for certain things.
They're more cautious about it.
But yeah.
But so I wasn't even sick, and I took those stupid things, and they kind of made me sick, and now my health has never really been the same. I mean, I gained some weight after that. I don't even know why. I mean, you know, it changes your metabolism a little bit when your gut bacteria changes. So, you know, just weird stuff.
More kimchi for the man, please.
I don't... Can that really help? I mean, because you're...
Fermented foods, yes.
Well, I know, but in terms of treating certain symptoms that you're having, but your gut bacteria is pretty unique, and it does some very specific things for your digestion. So, I mean, yeah, if you're... If
you might need a poop transplant then.
They do that.
I know they do that. The producer is obsessed with them.
It's a weird thing.
Do not try them at home yourself. People started doing that.
What? Really?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it doesn't sound complicated, but, yeah, it's a bad idea. So don't do it.
It doesn't sound complicated.
Yeah.
Like hernia surgery. That doesn't sound complicated, but you probably shouldn't be doing it yourself. Yes.
Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world where you can get the most up-to-date information on my bladder health. I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 383.
And it's been 2 weeks since we recorded, but only 1 week since we talked, because last time the damn machine was updating for... I think literally hours.
Yeah, I was surprised how long it took you to...
Apparently, it was a monthly update. Oh. So it had a bunch of big shit in it.
I came over and everything.
Yeah, no, so we talked without recording it. It was kind of surreal. No audience. It was strange. But yeah, so now we're actually recording, which means we have so much stuff to catch up on. But quickly, what's this podcasting about? So... So it goes, we have a hat, it's magic, in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, whose gut bacteria is probably fine, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, it's Ernest Borgnine Servants... draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't that, which is most of it.
Yep. Most of it.
So how was your 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, we're still watching
Game of Thrones.
We're most of the way through season 5. Apparently, I was told that that dip in the ratings in season 5 wasn't, I mean, I thought it must have been from some event outside of the show because it was so temporary and then it went right back to its previous trend.
Mm.
I was told that there was a controversy.
Oh.
Or controversy, as the British might say. And we've passed that show. And once again, I am baffled. I mean, I can see why there was a fuss about it. I mean, I know why people are, what they're responding to, but this was a huge drop in the ratings of the next show, like enormous.
Mm.
And what baffles me about it is it was somewhat foreseen, I thought, just like the last thing. And I'm not trying to insult anyone's intelligence or tell people that they shouldn't like this show or anything like that. It's just, I don't get it. I guess I don't get the show. Now, the 7th season is the last season. I believe it's finished.
I'm not sure.
I think it's run. So we'll probably find some way to watch it after we've watched season 6 and everything. But something's really going to have to change dramatically for me to, when it's all over, say, oh, yeah, that was a, I get why this show was popular. I get why this show was such a big deal to people. Because so far, I don't get it. Mm. We saw Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, how's that?
No,
we haven't seen
it's
yet.
It's not very good. It's not bad.
Is it like the original Ant-Man?
But see, I liked the original Ant-Man.
So you like this less than that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It seemed like Evangeline Lilly was the only person who showed up to work. Like, the writer didn't show up. The director didn't show up. The editor definitely didn't show up. I mean, Paul Rudd was fine, but, like, none of Paul Rudd.
No.
None of the stuff, none of the jokes landed because they didn't set him up right, either because they didn't have the shots to set him up right, or the editor didn't understand these are jokes and you have to set them up. I don't know what the problem was, but I would totally recommend for people, I mean, watch it, it's an MCU movie, but you can go ahead and wait, as far as I'm concerned, until it's, like, on Netflix even. Like,
yeah.
If it's streaming there. What else? I finished reading...
Holy crap, you read something.
I finished reading Treasure Island. I was reading Treasure Island.
Oh, yeah.
And it surprised me because...
You didn't know you knew how to read.
It didn't seem like a pirate book. Because think about this. If you saw a movie, and in the movie there was a kid and his mom, and they own a hotel, and some mysterious guy comes to the hotel, and the kid figures out that he's a mob boss of some kind, and then he dies, and he finds some cash in the guy's house, and they know it's mob cash, but the mom and kid decide they're going to keep it, blah blah blah, so and so.
Spoilers for Treasure Island.
Would you call that a mob movie? No, a mob movie's like Goodfellas or Godfather or something. A movie that where the story is basically about some ordinary people getting sucked into, the criminal world because some criminal lightly touches their life for a while. I mean, the mob's in the story, but it's not a mob story.
So, for instance, you wouldn't call Goonies either a mob movie or a pirate movie, even though both are potentially involved.
I don't know, because see, here's another thing is, there were pirates in it.
Not mob, I guess.
There were pirates in it, but there wasn't really pirate stuff. There was sailing, but that's lots of sailings and lots of things. The pirates were so peripheral to the story, I wouldn't call it a pirate story. I wouldn't call it a young adult or children's story, because while the protagonist is a teenage, well, actually he's like a young man, the story's being told by this guy in his later years. He doesn't say how old he is, but you get the impression that, you know, he's maybe my age and he's talking about this experience. And the voice is so strongly an older male person. Because even when he talks about some of the reckless and dangerous things he did when he was this 16-year-old boy, he critiques it like an older man would. So it's in such the voice of an older man, it doesn't even feel like it's being told by a 16-year-old person, right? Because usually young adult stuff, it's not just that the young adults are the protagonists. It's especially if it's in first person, it's in their voice, in their teenage voice. This was not in a teenage voice at all.
So did you like it?
I did like it. And I thought it was very typical of Robert Louis Stevenson, because he likes to tell stories that are cautionary tales in a particular way, not don't do this thing or bad things will happen to you. More, you know, don't even take a step on this path. That first step may seem innocent enough, but before long, you know, that's the kind of story he likes to tell. So I'm not surprised I would find out he told a story once that was kind of like a Coen Brothers type of thing, right? Where ordinary people get sucked into situations like that. But I didn't know it was going to be that. I didn't know that's the kind of story it was or that it was going to be. But I did like it because Robert Louis Stevens is a genius. And it seems like there was some other thing that happened. But, you know, over 2 weeks, a lot of things happen. But, you know, I'm sure you've got tons of things to talk about, so be my guest.
I saw 3 movies. Could talk about them fast, though. I saw an old movie. It's hard to say if it's an art house movie or an exploitation movie. It's from the 1970s. It's a European film called Daughters of Darkness. And it's a lesbian vampire film, as a lot of them are. But it was just especially odd. I kind of recommend it if you like one of those like intense movies that have a lot of people looking at each other really hard and saying things that are very meaningful to them, but not really to anybody else. And just a lot of weird psychological stuff. It's very strange. But in the theater we saw, in fact, on Independence Day, we had an extra long date night in the daytime. And we went up to Cedar Rapids and we watched two movies back to back, and we remembered why we don't watch movies back to back. It's exhausting. Hmm. But we went and saw Tag and Ocean's 8.
You know, we should have seen that. I wonder why we didn't.
The short version is both of them are fine to watch. Go ahead and watch them. You can probably wait till they're on cable.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed Ocean's 8 more. I think Tag might be the better film. Ocean's 8 is fun because of its cast. It is an all-female cast with some awesome actors in it. It is, however, a weak-as-hell script and a mediocre-at-best heist movie. Like, if it wasn't for that cast, I would have said it was just dumb.
Yeah.
The cast is awesome. It's really fun to see them together. And it, I think it is worth it on that alone. It's pretty lame script. So that's something to consider. Tag was fun. It is of a type with other R-rated comedies. It wasn't super relatable to me because it was very much about this male friendship group that started as children and has gone up to middle age, and I didn't have a group like that and didn't want a group like that and don't relate to a group like that.
Yeah.
That being said, also an awesome cast of men and women. And it was funny. Yeah, it was pretty funny. And it's fun because it is based in part on real stuff, and during the end credits you see actual footage of the, for those who aren't familiar with Tag, it is based on a true story of some friends who spent 30 some odd years, or are continuing, I think, to this day, playing a game of Tag since they were kids. It's 1 month out of the year, but during that month, constantly playing a game of Tag. And it's sort of about how it kept them in each other's lives, because they would, you know, even when they lived far away, like, people would take time off and fly there to sneak up on them and get them. And what's fun, in the end credits, you actually see footage of the real group, and you see that some of the bits that happened in the movie were actually things that happened in real life, of people wearing disguises and stuff like that. And it's cute, and it's a fun idea, and it's, yeah, it's John Hamm, it's Jeremy Renner, it's Ed Helms, it's Isla Fisher, Hannibal Buress, Jake Johnson, I forget the other female lead, I can't remember her name. Rashida Jones is also in it. Hell of a cast. And it was pretty funny. But it's not mind-blowing or anything. It was fine. All right. Let's stop talking about all this shit and get down to the serious business. The game. The June 30th game. The role-playing game I ran.
Yeah, that's right.
For all those people.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, you were.
Because
that's the important
before
part.
Before I forget, I will also mention we did finish Horizon Zero Dawn, but you and I talked about that last
week. We talked about it as much as spoiler stuff,
yeah.
And we both agree it's a pretty awesome game.
So, yes, I was going to ask you about your game, and I forgot to do that.
I haven't played a lot of it since then. I'm in the expansion now. I got all the super cool weapons, which are really super cool.
They really are, aren't they?
But they go through ammo like nobody's business. I have been spending thousands on Blaze. It's kind of hilarious. But I will tell you, nothing takes down a Frostclaw like that Forge Fire thing.
That's true.
I just blow them up. It's awesome. But yeah, it's expensive.
So yeah, how'd your game go?
Oh my goodness. So, the game I couldn't talk about before, now I can talk about. So, actually, I think I still have the stuff sitting right here. So we can line it up for you. Alright, you familiar with Charlie's Angels?
Yes.
Alright.
I used to watch it when I was a kid. I enjoyed the movies that they made.
Just ask.
More or less.
Seven characters, because there were seven players. Fiona Rangauer. Tough, hardworking, and ambitious Fiona went from a nobody to the richest, most famous female wrestler in the world. But what did she have to do to get there? Kelly Lorraine Fitzsimmons, at an amazing-looking 52 years old, Kelly Lorraine has brought more people to Christ through teleministries than AA and Mel Gibson combined. But there's a lot more to her story.
He's showing me pictures of these people, by the way.
Connie's the nicest person you could know. Forest ranger, volunteer worker, friend in need. But something from her past could destroy all that.
Could destroy it all!
Mackenzie Richards.
Did you get these from magazines, these pictures?
Google Images.
Oh, okay.
Ah, the innocence of a 12-year-old child. Only one problem. Mackenzie, everyone agrees, is kind of a dick.
Blonde. Little blonde girl.
Eddie is a soldier for the light, serving in the shadows. He'll risk all in the fight against evil. In fact, he already has many times. But there's something important he doesn't know. Spoiler alert, what he doesn't know is that vampires don't exist, and he's just murdered some people.
Thinking they're vampires. Oh, my goodness.
Rachel Whittle. Wife, mother, and high school chemistry teacher. When Rachel gets cancer, she thinks she's found a way to take care of her family. But at what cost?
Does it relate to her tan lines?
Nah, it's just a picture of her.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Serrano, successful college professor, part-time doomsday prepper, best known for making his students write God is dead in order to pass intro philosophy.
But
is the universe truly how he believes it to
be? Who is that guy? I recognize that guy.
Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah, that's Kevin
The last two are sown. This is a female version of Walter White from Breaking Bad, and this is the character Kevin Sorbo played in a movie called God's Not Dead.
I see.
Seven people with nothing in common, except that they were all morally ambiguous. Not good enough for heaven, not evil enough for hell. That all changed the day they all died at the same moment. Now they work for me. My name is Jesus Christ. Welcome to Jesus's Angels.
Mm.
This was what I introduced them to the night before we started gaming. I told them all that. It also comes with a picture that has Jesus's Angels in a cool-looking font and a picture of that phone speaker that Charlie always talked on,
because
that's how it went. Yep, they all just ended up in purgatory. Like, they just started in purgatory, and they were escorted after sitting in a waiting room to a room where there was a little speaker, and they talked to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ wanted their help. Because, you see, there were a bunch of afterlives from before the time of Christianity that were going to go away because they were too old and no one believed in them anymore. And so they were going to just vanish into oblivion and take the souls with it. And Jesus didn't appreciate that. So he wanted them to go and bring the souls back so that he could welcome them back to heaven so that they wouldn't get wiped out. Things. And he's like, if you do this for me, then you can get into heaven. So this is how about. It was a very interesting beginning because, of course, nobody believed any of it. And in fact, it got really funny in the beginning because one of the characters played by Coffee kept asking Jesus questions, saying, Jesus, what should we do about that? And somebody, originally it was the Vampire Hunter character played by Trish, but various people would just be like, stop calling him Jesus! And it became this thing. And she's like, tell us what you want, Jesus. He's not Jesus! Shut up! Back and forth constantly. So, of the characters, we had the atheist guy who was atheist with a bullet. And so, of course, he was consigned to purgatory unless he did something about it. We had a Walter White character. So she was just a chemistry teacher who was also a fearsome drug lord. So she's sort of in the middle. The wrestler was just big and famous, and she'd ruined a lot of people's lives to get to the top, you know, standard corporate ambition bullshit.
Sure.
The 12-year-old was the sweet little 12-year-old, except she's kind of a dick.
Oh, just not a very nice person.
Just a jerk to people. So that worked well. And then the vampire hunter, his heart was in the right place, but he was insane. And he had just murdered, like, 12 people thinking they were vampires at various points.
Mm.
He refused to believe this throughout the camp. The forest ranger was incredibly nice and sweet and just, like, the perfect person. But when she was 12, she played a slumber party game called Bloody Eloise. And unfortunately, she wasn't aware at the time, but she actually did enter into a demonic contract at that point with a demon named Bloody Eloise. But the whole thing had been interrupted, so nothing had come of it. They hadn't actually made a deal or whatever, but they were still connected. And so her soul was essentially tainted by that. And then the televangelist was a televangelist.
Right.
So that's also was lying about how old she was, who she was, where she came from. So that whole thing was kind of a mess too. I think that was everybody. They had to go to these various afterlives and try and save the peoples. And so they went to this one that was hunting people, that their whole thing is that they just hunt forever, these forests, and they just hunt game and live out their lives, and it's wonderful. But the problem is they all got bored, basically. So at a certain point, they started picking fights with each other, and eventually they just split themselves into two completely arbitrary tribes. And so there was no way to talk to both sets of people at the same time, because if they thought you were aligned with one side, you were the enemy, and so they wouldn't talk to you.
Sure.
And so they had to go through several processes, which included trying to herd people with grenades, which did not work well at all, for the record.
Yeah.
The vampire hunter and the 12-year-old kind of started teaming up on things, and that was a terrible idea.
Yeah, right.
That was a mess. A lot of practicing with hand grenades and not doing super good. Eventually, they just had to hunt down, like, the biggest, scariest thing that nobody had ever hunted down before. And that got everybody's attention, so then they could save everybody. And then they went to the afterlife full of poop. It was actually this giant, dark, creepy, muddy place that sort of looked like a swamp. It had these little beaten mud trails everywhere and this giant mountain in the middle. But they were being ferried around, no pun intended, by somebody named Karen, who had this boat that she was pulling them around on from afterlife to afterlife. And so while she said she was going to go, because the boat could fly, she was going to go wait around the top of the mountain until they finished, and the mountain swallowed her.
Mm.
And this was a problem, because it was their only way out, in addition to their only way to do their job. So they talked to the few people who was there, and they found out basically the mountain is a giant creature, and so in order to get, they couldn't scale it to get in the mouth to try and save, so they had to go the other end, the mountain's butt. And through this process, they basically found out that everything was covered in this mud, and this mud was essentially the poop of this mountain god.
I see.
So that, of course, ended with two of them using a grenade and some weird chemistry to set the entire afterlife on fire.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a little insane. But they got through that. And then we went to an afterlife. It would have been really cool, but we couldn't spend very long on it, unfortunately, because we only had a certain amount of time. It was a very highly technologically advanced afterlife, and it turned out it was a civilization that had, they were basically atheists, and their afterlife turned out to be just this empty void. But then they found out that they could use spiritual energy to craft their own matter and things here. And so it was really cool, and people were loving it, and it was awesome. And then, of course, we found out that it's, by spiritual energy, they mean the energy of souls. So they developed this class system, and the lower classes got killed off as they needed their energy to keep up their lifestyle and things like that. So they had to run away really quick because that was what was going to happen to them. And I was going to do a lot more fun stuff there, but we didn't have a lot of time. And then we went to an afterlife that was basically the Lotus Eaters from the Odyssey. But we didn't really have a solution to that, because as soon as that happened, an angel showed up, Archangel Michael, and said, "Stop what you're doing here. This is horrible. Knock it off." And they're like, "But we work for Jesus Christ." And he's like, "What? No." And you're like, "Yeah, because the afterlives are going away and we're saving the people." And he's like, "That's not a thing."
That's not a thing.
So they went, I mean, he said it meaner, but yeah. So then they went back to purgatory, and they went in, and it turned out the speaker wasn't Jesus, and also wasn't really a speaker, because literally Michael pulled legs and arms out of it. And it was Lucifer.
What?
Lucifer was fucking around with them.
Oh, man.
And he was just using it as an excuse to get souls. So these souls were all in hell. Because purgatory is really boring. So there are angels in charge of, like, keeping an eye on it and stuff, but sometimes they get a little lax, so Satan can go and, you know, play around in there. And so that's how he sort of hijacked them and all this stuff. So, all's well that ends well, except they are all morally ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
So, technically, their fate is to spend thousands of years toiling in purgatory to earn the right to ascend to heaven.
Sure.
And they were all like, huh? Fuck you. and Satan was like, I'll tell you what. You side with me, I will give you a good job in hell. Like, you'll go to hell, but you'll be like one of the ruling people in hell.
Mm.
This got really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In a move I did not expect at all, like this I had not planned for, the televangelist, who throughout the campaign became the sort of unlikely voice of reason throughout, played by the sister-in-law, by the way, basically demonstrated faith and humility to a degree that she ascended up to heaven.
Wow.
And then they had the 12-year-old try it, and she managed to pull it off.
Mm.
Barely, but she managed to pull it off. So they went up to heaven, and they were like, but the others, I thought we were going to save the others. They're all stuck, too. And I was like, no. Don't you know? That's how heaven works. Once you're up there, you don't care anymore. Like, you're fine. That doesn't bother you. I'm like, seriously, talk to a hardline Christian. That's one of the things. When you're in heaven, you don't, because that's always my thought, is I'm like, how is it heaven if I know that, like, millions of people, including a lot of loved ones, are in eternal torment?
Sure.
It's like, no, it doesn't bug you anymore. So they were just like, hey, you made it too, high five. The two most annoying people in the game, the two most annoying characters, who were not, one was played by a male player, one was played by Trish, but both were the only two male characters. I don't know how that worked, but they managed to be like the douchiest two in the group, was the vampire hunter and the atheist professor.
Mm-hmm.
The atheist professor throughout the whole, it was my friend's best role-playing I have ever seen him do. Unfortunately, it was one of the most annoying characters I've ever created in my life. So I was like in awe and so sick of him. And so was everybody in the group hated that character. But at a certain point, he basically demanded proof from Archangel Michael. So Archangel Michael literally put in his head, like, definitive knowledge of the history of heaven and the angels and the war in heaven and all that stuff.
Mm.
And by sheer luck, a.k.a. dice rolls, he didn't go insane.
Mm.
So when all was said and done, he was like, you know what? I think I'll do my time in purgatory. Because I think that's what I deserve.
Wow.
And then, in what was an incredibly silly game, Trish almost made us all goddamn cry. Because they were like, you should try to get in heaven too. There was a specific Bible they were using to sort of like amplify their faith and get in heaven, and they're like, you should try this. And he's like, no, I'm gonna stay here. And she literally says, she's like, Kevin, sometimes I really did kind of know they weren't vampires. And we're all
wow.
Like, holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah, so she stayed, or he stayed, so the two of them were gonna do their time there. One of the others, the Walter White clone, played by Coffee, totally accepted Lucifer's deal. And she left, like, right away. And then as other things are going on, she's just in the background saying, ooh, I love these new clothes. So she totally was going to run hell, invent new forms of torture and shit like that. And then two others, I broke the park ranger. Because her whole thing was she had this, you know, demon she'd made a deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of her shtick, is she'd been given this mirror that she could communicate with the demon. And the demon could help her out. And that was going to be a thing, I thought. But she just had wanted nothing to do with this demon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's freaking out over this entire thing. And one of the characters had not... when they came back to Purgatory, they had just stayed with the boat to sort of, like, guard it or whatever. And so she just breaks out and just starts running around the thing looking for Fiona and screaming and then, like, opening up the mirror and saying, like, I'll make a deal, thou. And the demon's like, I think it's too late. And literally, like, in my head, it's very much that scene in Labyrinth where she's, like, running, looking for a corner, and there's just no corner. It just goes on forever. So she just basically lost her mind and trapped in Purgatory. And then Fiona, because she didn't do anything, and I thought, which was played by Neuroduck, stayed on the boat with Karen, a.k.a. Charon. And all this goes down, and they're just sitting there, and it's docked with, like, there's, like, fog. It's like one of those docks that's, instead of water, there's just open fog and mist out there. And so Carl just sitting there and said, you should have gone with the others. He's like, why is that? He's like, because it's too late now. And, like, demonic hellhounds start climbing up the edge of the boat. And, of course, Fiona, the badass wrestler one, just, like, cracks her neck and turns around. And then we do, like, Rocky III ending. It's just, like, freeze frame. It's like everybody's attacking each other. And that was the end. The whole damn thing was so insane and hilarious. And I'm super proud of them. And it was really awesome.
Well, good job.
So I was very happy about that. I might do it again sometime. It was a lot of work.
Sure.
I'm really kind of surprised.
Sure.
I don't think of that stuff as a lot of work because I just pull it out of my butt. But this one took a lot of effort. I had to do a lot of work for this. The Dresden game, we still haven't started yet. We're still building stuff, but we're just about done. I mean, we're working on characters now instead of the town. I'm very excited. I feel like it's going to be very different this time. I'm thinking in different terms. I'm thinking much more like a TV show. Shorter, more episodic adventures. Plot lines that run simultaneous. So, like, you know, something will happen, and then that'll we'll set that aside for a little while, and we'll come back later when the next thing happens and stuff like that. I'm also thinking in terms of, like, reward systems, like with, like, casual gaming, tablet games and stuff. Like, what can I give to each player that will make them keep going? Like, what thing will give them the dopamine reaction? So I'm really getting crafty about it, and I'm just absolutely going to ruin their lives. I don't know if I talked about this before. So one of the players in the game is going to play a changeling character, which is somebody who's half fairy and half human.
Sure.
They specifically are playing a character who isn't aware that that's what they are. And so it's up to me as the GM to decide a few things, including of what kind of half fairy they are. There's different kinds of fairies. And so I'm working that stuff out, and they're leaving up to me. But then they came up with something, and they're like, oh, I want to add this part to my background. And I was like, and I was like, okay, I'll try and fit it in. But I was thinking more and more, and I'm like, I don't think that's good. I think they're going to dislike. I don't think they've thought that through, and it's going to present things they don't like. And I was talking to Trish about it, and she's like, you told me what you have planned for them, and it's much worse than that. And I'm like, yes, but it's the kind of terribleness they'll like, and I think this is the kind of terribleness they won't like. And I realized that in my head I have a list of those things. Because if you're a good GM, often it involves just beating the crap out of the players. Just so much adversity gives them stuff to do, makes them feel really accomplished. But in my head, I think I know, at least unconsciously, what kind of adversity and stuff they'd be up for, and other stuff that they'd be like, I don't like this. And it's specific to each person.
Right.
But, like, I'm already there with this one. I'm like, no, because you have this thing you want. They've designed part of the town and stuff. And I'm like, that will screw up the relationship with that, and it'll be awful in a way you don't like. This other thing will be way more awful, but it'll be in a way you think is fun. And it was weird. I had not realized that I had done that before.
Interesting.
So that's kind of fun. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that one, too.
Good.
I want to stop for a second here to give a little PSA before we go on. So, we're not going to talk about it, but the world continues to be on fire. Just everywhere. All the time. Everything is sucking right now. Mostly involving the president and the things that come from that, but just a lot of awful stuff. And it's very hard to deal with, and there's a tricky balance involved in keeping informed and not going insane. So I have two things to that I want to say.
Okay.
I have seriously narrowed down where I get my news. I basically go to NPR. I decided I'm not willing to give CNN or Fox News the page views anymore. They are sensationalist, fear-mongering non-journalism.
NPR is a good choice,
and
I think.
It pisses me off. NPR, I'm just reading the stuff on there, but I mean, it tends to give me the important things,
sure,
and not too much of it, and I like that. So I'm still in there. And I also still do AV Club because I like the pop culture,
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
Sometimes nowadays they put political things in there because there's such huge shit going down.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it starts up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is there is a sister publication to AV Club. There's like 12 of them. But one of them is called The Root. And I've started reading that top to bottom. It is basically black journalism. About black culture and things in the news related to black people and racism, and the staff is as near as I can tell, all black. And it goes back to this thing we've been talking about, that we are less versed on this kind of thing.
Mm.
And it's,
mm-hmm,
as with a lot of things recently, it's very eye-opening.
Mm.
Like, I understand racism is institutionalized and it's everywhere. I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning a lot. I'm learning the extent. I'm learning the specifics. I'm learning the damage that even things like white liberalism, of which I'm a major white liberal, is doing to this, and how much it is ignoring the importance of race relations.
Sure.
How incredibly racist this country is. Just every day, all the time, and of course getting worse because of the monster that's in the office right now and a couple of monsters underneath him. And this stuff is important. I would highly recommend anyone who, like me, is like, you know what? I don't know that I'm well-versed enough on American black culture and what is going on related to that and what all that means. I would encourage you to go to The Root regularly. It is angry. It is also quite funny. And it's very informative. Be prepared for stuff that's going to make you uncomfortable, but it's there. So I highly recommend that. Also, and this is sort of because I've seen friends with this lately, do what you need to survive. I've said the news sites that I visit, I do that. Outside of that, and obviously I donate to people and places to help these things, but outside of that, that's it. I kind of actively spend my time focusing on made up stuff, watching movies, playing these games, stuff like that, because otherwise I would just be in a giant depressive spiral.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to do, and it's very important not to do it. So, and it can feel kind of cowardly that I'm hiding from it. But if the alternative is just to fall into a giant suicidal depression, that's dumb. So, you know, keep yourself informed, but keep it limited to a space and an amount you can handle. And then just do escapism. Movies, music, TV. Like, get way into, you know, Project Runway or Game of Thrones or whatever, to help yourself. I'm really excited to do some evil, twisted shit in Dresden Files game because it's all going to be supernatural, evil, twisted shit and not the evil, twisted shit that's just happening in the world. So, yeah, keep informed and then keep yourself sane. All right, let's do a hat thing.
Okay. Coffee.
No, thank you. I have to go to sleep in a few hours.
Steamed, baked, or fried potatoes?
Yes please. No.
We both said yes.
I don't know. How are you feeling about potatoes?
You know, I think I've always mashed potatoes there's nostalgia there that kind of trumps everything else, even more than French fries.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because Mom used to make it, you know, the whole meat and potatoes kind of thing, stereotype or whatever, that was totally our family. And, you know, that it was just a constant. The meal might be a different kind of meat or a different kind of anything, but there was almost always mashed potatoes. And they were good. And so it's very much a comfort food that I, you know, associate with my mom. So there's always going to be that. But between steamed, baked, and fried, though, I mean, that mashed isn't in there. So probably fried, probably.
I would tend to agree. Potatoes are problematic. If you are somebody who is being carb conscious, if you are somebody who is diabetic, potatoes are such a problem.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to like fast food or something like that. You order the combo meal, the fries are the problem. When you take the fries out of the equation, suddenly it becomes way better for you.
Yeah.
And whatever version of potato it is. I grew up, I mean, we had other starches. I mean, we'd have pasta or rice or things like that. When it was potatoes, it was almost always a quote-unquote baked potato from the microwave. Mm. And I never really liked them.
Mm.
And no sour cream. It just would have whatever margarine we had and, you know, like salt, pepper. That was it.
From the microwave, even?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So
we had baked potatoes always from the oven, but
I've learned to appreciate a baked potato in a restaurant, but I'm still, fried's better. Hash browns are probably my favorite.
Yep, that's right. Right? I forgot about those.
Mashed are okay, but I don't like the lumps, so like whipped for me is really good.
You know, moms were never lumpy, but I don't mind lumps when I have someone else's
and,
potatoes.
And also, if you got the right gravy going, then it's all good. And then also, twice baked is pretty awesome.
Sure.
I like twice baked.
Sure.
Because a good browned, crispy potato skin is really tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that in the microwave, which is part of why I didn't
that.
Right. My fries, I tend to like them crisp on the thinner side. Steak fries are not normally my thing. I'm addicted to McDonald's french fries.
I have to
Those
agree
are really
on
good.
That, yeah.
Some of my least favorites are, like, you know, like red potatoes or whatever. They can be fine. And you can do if you chop them up really well and put a little olive oil on them and put the right seasonings on them, just put them in the oven, like under the broiler for a couple minutes.
They're great.
They can be amazing. Yeah. But in general, that's where I will last go. Overall, if I'm getting rid of something in a meal, if I'm like, this is too much food or I need to adjust or whatever, potatoes are one of the first things to go.
When I was growing up, I mean, we had potatoes, everything. Scalloped potatoes.
Oh, my mother-in-law makes some amazing scalloped potatoes.
Baked potatoes. Mom made her own French fries. And different kinds, too, like the waffle fry thing when you could get machines that could do that. She made those. Potato chips. She made her own potato chips
Ooh,
for
nice.
A little while there, and those were very good. And
did she just pan fry everything, or did you guys have a deep fryer?
Yeah, we had a couple different deep fryers.
Nice.
And when I was there came a time where the area of our property where we gardened, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but you know, my wife, the house that I live in now is my wife's house. I mean, she bought it.
Yeah.
I rented space from her for a long time.
This was before they were married, so it's not that weird.
Right. One thing she asked me about before I started living there was, I want to garden, so maybe you could help me garden. I said, I don't know if I can do that. She said, well, you grew up on a farm and you gardened. I said, yes, but on the farm, gardening meant you drop something in the dirt and you're done. I mean, you probably will have to weed, but maybe not that very much. You're not going to get a lot of critters because we had dogs and stuff to chase away. But it's not like the rabbits and deer came close because there were woods. You know, they didn't have to come up and eat the food that we were growing. There was plenty of sunshine and rain. We never fertilized it. We didn't put any bug spray on it or anything. We only would weed it if it got to looking pretty bad. But here in town, especially on a property where it used to be a farm and they scraped all the topsoil off, so you just have clay. I don't know how to grow anything in that. I don't, you know, soil amendments or, you know, special ways to garden so that you, your tomatoes are bigger than normal or whatever. All I know is you put it in the ground and you wait. And if it looks weedy, you pull some weeds. I don't know how to garden because that we just didn't have to do that. In fact, one of the reasons she thought that I would be an avid gardener was because there was a time where I was responsible for the garden, and that was a couple years where we only planted potatoes. Mm. And so I would plant the potatoes, lots of potatoes, mind you, just had to weed them a little bit. I didn't really have to do anything with them. And then Dad made this thing to harvest the potatoes with. He took a shovel and some steel bars, and he had some guy weld it together so that he could drive the tractor down the rows where the potatoes were, and he could, you know, there's hydraulics on the back of most tractors, and using the power of the hydraulics, he could bury the shovel part into the dirt and pull it along so that it was pushing up the potatoes. And so Dad would just go down in the rows, and the potatoes would just come out. Some of them would be cut, you know, because it wasn't perfect, but the potatoes would just come out, and we just had tons of potatoes that year. I remember in 85, I remember that specifically because Mom's father died that year of colon cancer. And one of the last days he spent with us where he could, you know, walk around and he wasn't just bedridden was he came down to the farm and watched us harvest potatoes, and the big wagon full of potatoes we had, he was there. And we had home movies of it. Huh? And so Mom would just do everything with those potatoes. So potatoes were a huge part of my life growing up. You know, and then we learned later that we kind of had a little bit of Irish heritage, and so we always made a big deal out of that, even though that's kind of a stereotype, whatever. So now, you know, I eat potatoes whenever I can, and just about any, it doesn't matter what it is. Mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, French fries, tater tots. I love it when my wife comes home with tater tots. And I prefer if they're fried, because that's the way Mom did it.
I don't think baked tater tots work, because that's what I grew up with, because school lunches would have that, and they baked them for some reason, and baked tater tots kind of suck.
Oh, well, the ones at our school that were baked were nice and crispy and good.
Yeah, no, we did not.
The ones you buy in the store, like we get organic ones, and they're not quite as good baked as when my mom fried them, but I still love them. I still love them.
Because like Shakespeare's has them as a side option, and they fry them, and so.
Yeah, I just love potatoes. But we haven't had very many potatoes lately because I think my wife was feeling like they weren't as good for her. Because like you say, you get older and you start to develop certain...
Well, and they're not... They're calorically useful, but they're not nutrient-rich, per se.
Yeah. Yeah, I could eat potatoes with everything.
It's the most natural version of just plain white carbs, but it's still basically just plain white carbs. But they can be really tasty.
Yep, I used to love them. Well, and I still love them, but we don't eat them as much anymore, again, because I think, I don't know if, because, you know, she started eating meat again and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's just changed her whole response to food in general.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
I'm having that a little bit lately. I'm having it a little bit lately because I'm on antibiotics, you know. But I finally have been keeping up with the gym enough that I'm slowly starting to notice changes, and they're awesome changes.
Oh, good.
Very happy.
Good.
Still watching Supernatural.
Oh.
It is getting better. They're having bits that carry on, and they're having bits that are more interesting. And I'm like, this episode is... I don't have to feel like this episode is just like last week's, but with a slightly different monster. Like, they're having new things. I gotta admit, I'm in the middle of season one, and we're already at Evil Ghost Truck as our monster. And I feel like Evil Ghost Truck should really be at one when you're running out of ideas.
Like jumping the shark.
Yeah. It feels way early to have Evil Ghost Truck. I mean, we're putting a spin on it. It appears to be Evil Racist Ghost Truck, but still, it's weird.
The best stuff is to come, trust me.
Yeah, but no, we've had a couple of things, and I didn't realize, because it's been so long, a lot of people that I know that are famous later
are in it. Yeah,
we're in it. I'd be like, oh my god, it's a little baby whoever.
So, whoever, yeah.
Yeah, Julie Benz recently was in a part that I'm like, that part's not even that big. What the hell are you doing
here? Yeah, Julie
Benz,
that's right.
Yeah, so that's been kind of
well,
fun.
Well, you'll probably give up on it before you're going to see Felicia Day in it. I mean, she basically starts, she's in it, and this was after she was already famous, show started kind of go south. She was in it, so I don't even know if you'll last that long.
We'll see. I don't know.
I mean, that's like season 9 or
I'm
something.
I'm not going real fast because I watch half an episode every weekday, so it's not real quick. But, I mean, it's still, you know, slow and steady, and that's just my thing now. I go in the first – there are various versions, but I always do 20 minutes of cardio basically first thing, 5 days a week, and it's a half episode of Supernatural is how I do it. I don't even look at the time on – the piece of machinery. I'm like, I know how long the episodes are, 43 minutes and a few seconds without commercials, and so right when I get around like 21 minutes I stop it at wherever convenient scene is, and then the next day it's till the end of that episode, and that's how I do my cardio. I've also very clearly been adopted by the three older ladies that are there every day that are sort of my role models.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so it's funny because one of them said that they think of themselves as the Three Musketeers, and the other day I'm like, I can be D'Artagnan. I'm not a musketeer. I just have a letter of commendation to the king.
Well, that's pretty good. I don't know enough about Three Musketeers to have...
I knew that, but actually it recently came up again in an episode of The Simpsons.
Oh.
Marge has found something she likes doing with the kids. And then Homer's going to, like, get involved. And she's like, no, it's our thing. We're like the Three Musketeers. And the kids are like, she's like, there weren't four Musketeers. And Lisa's like, yes, there was. Athos, Aramis, Porthos, and D'Artagnan. And she's like, D'Artagnan wasn't a Musketeer. He just had a letter of commendation to the king. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I've seen enough movies and stuff. And
sure,
that's the thing.
Sure.
He's like a wannabe Musketeer.
Sure.
But by the time he shows up, they get disbanded, so. I mean, I'm sure he goes on to be one later, but
why not?
I was like, so I could be. Well, because for years I was very confused because I knew there were four people. I'm like, why is
it
the Three Musketeers?
I never really thought about that.
It's the Three Musketeers and this wannabe kid.
And that one guy, yeah.
And Chris O'Donnell.
And the candy bar.
Yes. Oh, good candy bar. Good candy bar. Well, that's it for today, people. So. Hope you got enough out of that. Come to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us what your favorite potatoes are, and also how many musketeers you think there should be, or are, or could be. And how's your bladder health? Tell us about that. Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. Continue writing in, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. But you guys stepped up. It took you a bit. I had to beg for a while. But you guys stepped up. We got quite a few things at the moment. But we can always use more. So,
yep.
Write in and take care of your urinary tract.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.